can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C. here on May Day, April 1st. This is the International Socialist Holiday. And since Zionism and socialism are so closely related, and since I have been accused of being a Zionist, I guess I should say happy May Day, folks, fellow Zionists and internationalists. Well, in any case, for those of you who sometimes don't understand when I'm kidding, let me let you know that I am kidding. I am anti-socialist, but I'm also anti-capitalist, folks. I'm for the people against the special interests, and I think when all is said and done, so are you. Anyway, here we are. It is May Day, May 1st. Hard to believe we're already pushing so far into the year. And, you know, the more we push into the year, more people are dying in Iraq thanks to this grand host of criminals, both Democrat and Republican, who are playing these awful games with the American people. Good example of that today in the New York Times. Now, of course, they're also pushing to get us into a war against Iraq. And you know what's in, or I should say Iran, of course, pushing to get us into a war against Iran. And now their Democratic senators had a hearing yesterday. They hauled in an official from the Halliburton Company. That's Dick Cheney's law firm, and they called in this law firm, Dick Cheney's former firm, and they called in a representative from Halliburton to find out why Halliburton was still carrying out actions in Iran, having business dealings in Iran, even after sanctions were imposed on Iran. Now, folks, I'll tell you why I find this so hypocritical from a certain standpoint, and that is this, that, you know, Dick Cheney now is one of the big warriors against Iran. You know, he wants to get us in there. He wants to bomb their nuclear facilities. He wants war. Dick Cheney, good Christian American patriot, Vice President Dick Cheney. Well, you know what, folks? According to the New York Times, and I don't think the New York Times would lie to you, and I'm being facetious again, of course, folks, it reports that from 1995 to 2000, when Dick Cheney was Halliburton's chairman, quote, at that time he spoke out against sanctions on Iran. Isn't that interesting, folks? Isn't that interesting, folks? When Dick Cheney was in the private sector making millions, far more money than he ever made before as a quote-unquote public servant, he really was opposed to sanctions on Iran because his company wanted to do business there. Well, then when he gets into the vice presidency, all of a sudden, for political reasons, he is now calling for sanctions against Iran and all sorts of other things, including war. So I guess the question is, folks, if those sanctions are so vital now, and they're necessary for America's national defense, and if Dick Cheney is such a good patriot, why was he opposed to the sanctions from 1995 to 2000? Well, folks, you know, you can make any judgment on that for yourself, but I think it's just very revealing. It just goes to show you what money and power will do to people and for people. I really honestly think, folks, that back from 2000 or 1995 to 2000, Dick Cheney was being intellectually honest, and he was also making some good money. But we know that Dick Cheney is a politician, and by that virtue alone, or lack of virtue, I should say, we have reason to question anything the guy says. Well, folks, I'm mad at the Jews. When we come back, I'll tell you why. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C., here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free...
Gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you live from Washington, D.C. A little tired here this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't realize how tired I was until I started talking, so I hope you'll bear with me here this evening. I've been stumbling over some of my words. I just literally got up about 10 or 15 minutes ago from a nap, and maybe it wasn't enough of a nap as I needed. But in any case, I am here with you. And I was mad when I lay down to take a nap, and I'm even angrier since I've gotten up because I had a chance to read a news story that was sent to me by a friend of mine down in Georgia. Evidently, it's Fannin County. Fannin County, Georgia. And the clipping is from the News Observer newspaper. I don't know if that's a weekly or a daily, but it was printed on March 16th. And the story is entitled, Eighth Graders Learn Holocaust Lesson. Well, they just recently had a Holocaust survivor named Jop Groen come to speak for the eighth graders there. Okay, good enough. They drag Holocaust survivors, of which there seem to be a continuing and endless number of them, but I'm not going to even comment on that right now. But there's an art teacher down there, Lori Jenkins, at the Fannin County Middle School. She claims to be had one set of Polish Catholic grandparents, and the others were Polish Jewish. And she is a teacher down there who is an art teacher. Well, in conjunction with a language arts teacher, whatever language arts are, I don't know. I guess that must mean English. Anyway, Connie Huff and this Lori Jenkins, for the last several years, have had a regular ongoing intrigue between their two classes teaching the Holocaust. The eighth graders would read The Diary of Anne Frank. Of course, we can expect that. And they also, in their art classes, wrote about the Holocaust in their art journals. And now, in their art classes, they're doing all sorts of Holocaust art. And, you know, I find that this thing that they're doing is being done in conjunction with a statewide art contest sponsored by the Georgia Commission on the Holocaust. The state of Georgia has a commission on the Holocaust. Now, why in the hell does the state of Georgia have a commission on the Holocaust? They probably have some roads that are crumbling in Georgia. They probably have some homeless people in Georgia. They probably have some dirt farmers trying to survive in Georgia. They probably have drug problems in Georgia. But what are they doing with a Georgia Commission on the Holocaust? You know what, folks? If I had the time and the energy, of which I have neither at this particular moment, I would probably be able to go on the Internet and find that at least half the states of the United States have commissions on the Holocaust. I mean, you know, I think you understand my frustration, or most of you do. There probably are some of you out there who probably don't understand my frustration, and I don't understand why you don't, but be that as it may. Well, reading this story, I have to share a couple of the highlights. One of the students did a 3D model of a concentration camp. And in this 3D model of a concentration camp, she made a wall out of pinto beans. Now, the reason why she made this wall out of pinto beans is because the beans were not just a boundary to keep the Jews from escaping. It's a symbol that they starved to death. You know, the beans, people eat beans. Well, she made a wall out of the beans, and of course, the wall symbolized the fact that the Jews were kept in, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if they taught the students in these Holocaust classes. I wonder if they taught them that most of the people who actually ran the concentration camps at the level dealing on a day-to-day basis with the Jewish inmates and the others were largely Jewish folks themselves known as kapos, K-A-P-O-S, and that following the liberation of these concentration camps, many, many, many of the Jewish inmates complained that the kapos were worse to them, their fellow Jews, than the Nazi SS guards were. Well, I doubt that was taught in that class. Well, this young lady who made the wall out of the pinto beans constructed a lookout tower at the 3D model of the concentration camp. It was made out of popsicle sticks and cardboard. Now, she has a cardboard gas chamber that has a prison yard with gravel that is made of pencil shavings and glitter. This is an art class in a public school in the great old state of Georgia, where my step-grandfather came from, Clayton County. Can you believe this, folks? They are teaching this kind of crap to children. They're making models of concentration camps. You know, when I was in art class, you know, I made a little statue. It turned out pretty nice. It looked like a little Frenchman with a cap on. You know, it was just a little head. You know, and people made nice pots and vases to put flowers in to give to their mothers. But here they're making models of concentration camps now. You know, oh, boy, folks. One more thing from this article. Miss Jenkins, the girl who's the lady, the teacher who's part Polish Jewish and part Polish Catholic, she said that her students, this is for real, folks, this is not a satire, she said that her students could feel for those who were victims of other people's prejudice. They know, she said, because, quote, a lot of people discriminate against middle school students, unquote. I'm going to read that to you again. She said that her students could empathize with prejudice because they know, she said, quote, unquote, a lot of people discriminate against middle school students. Oh, my God, folks. Think of all these poor middle school students out there that are being discriminated against. I'm going to start a Mike Piper Commission, a St. Bernard Commission. You know, my middle name is Bernard. St. Bernard Commission on the Holocaust of middle school students. Good Lord. You know, it's very interesting, this business about the Diary of Anne Frank. It has obviously not reached Miss Jenkins and her cohort, Miss Huff, that there are many Jewish people today, Jewish writers, Jewish intellectuals, who don't like the teaching of the Diary of Anne Frank for the simple reason that Anne Frank, in the judgment of many of these people, was not Jewish enough. Anne Frank talked about assimilating. Anne Frank talked about wanting to be Dutch or be German. You know, she was, her family were from Germany, and they moved to Holland, you know. They feel that Anne Frank was giving up her Jewish roots. And so, therefore, the Diary of Anne Frank ain't as hot as it used to be in their judgment. Well, you know, maybe that's a valid point, and not being Jewish, contrary to what Eric Hufschmidt and some of his followers have suggested. Not being Jewish, I suppose I don't really have any grounds to comment on that. That's their right as an internal family fight to decide whether or not Anne Frank constitutes the right kind of Jew to be taught about in the context of the Holocaust. But needless to say, I am continually amazed at the horrid waste of time by public schools, and not just public schools either. I've heard about scandals in Catholic schools teaching Holocaust studies, too. And certainly, say, other parochial schools of other religions other than Jewish. But the very idea that this has become the end thing in education, it just absolutely, it sickens me, folks. Of course, I'm both easily amused and easily disturbed. But this is the kind of thing, you know, when I got this clipping, I skimmed through it earlier, but then I read it before I came on the air. I'm telling you, folks, you know, every time in these communities around the country where they're introduced Holocaust studies, parents should raise hell. Parents should say, why are you wasting our tax dollars on this nonsense? What in the hell does the Holocaust have to do with education in America? And as I've told you before, there are a lot of psychiatrists, only a few of them will speak out, but there are a lot of psychiatrists who are absolutely convinced that this shoving of the Holocaust down the throats of young people is making them insensitive to violence. They're being constantly exposed to pictures of dead bodies, pictures of bodies being shoveled into the ground. And why do you think then that so many kids are so insensitive to violence and perhaps then ready to commit violence themselves? Oh, I think it's just absolutely amazing, absolutely disgusting. Folks, we have a very big lineup of callers here, and I'm going to try to get right to them. But when we come back from the break, which is coming up, I want to run one other amusing little item by you, something of more personal interest, but I think which should be of interest to you, of interest to those who are looking for quality research and quality information on the Internet, because I think right now we have finally got the solid proof we need that one of the most widely touted researchers who makes some noise on the Internet is nothing but a bold-faced liar. And I've got the evidence in black and white on the Internet and right in my hands, evidence black and white, just to show you what a liar this individual is. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the absolute proof that we should never, ever trust this person again. Well, when we come back, I'll run through that with you, and then we will go right to the phone calls, and we have a big lineup here tonight, folks. Try to get you all in. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. And believe it or not, we've got a caller from Georgia. It might even be from the town where his students have been subjected to this house of horrors called Holocaust education.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C. We have a whole lineup of callers, but I must go through this one item before we proceed. Got an email today from a friend of mine out in California who was absolutely delighted to have been listening to the Coast to Coast show on Saturday night. They had the guest of they had a guest who was the eldest son of E. Howard Hunt. And evidently what happened was that my caller called in and pointed out, basically, to make a long story short here, he managed to get out the word about Israeli involvement in the JFK assassination because of Israel's determined efforts to stop, because of JFK's determined efforts to stop Israel from building nuclear weapons of mass destruction. In the course of that, he of course, also mentioned the role of the Meyer-Lansky crime syndicate in setting up the JFK assassination, which, of course, I have written about in Final Judgment. Well, needless to say, I was thrilled about that because, in the discussion of the JFK assassination, you're only allowed to go so far, but thanks to lots of good people around the country who do believe that I have indeed pinned the tail on the donkey vis-a-vis the Zionist role in the murder of President Kennedy. The word is getting out there. Apparently, my correspondent in California took him 50 phone calls, 50 times dialing before he was able to get through. And he was on hold for more than 45 minutes, but he finally got on the air and managed to sneak in through the back door and talk about my book, Final Judgment. So if he's listening tonight, I want to thank him for that. But in regard to the JFK assassination, I was interested to read on the Internet, on his infamous website, that this whining, shrieking, effeminate little fool named Eric Hufschmidt, who I refer to as Queen Esther, Eric has made the allegation that I have been covering up for the role of the Bronfman family in the Kennedy assassination. Well, I would contend to you that Eric would have probably never even had any idea about the role of the Bronfman family in the Kennedy assassination had it not been for my book, Final Judgment. But bear in mind, folks, Eric Hufschmidt has said on his website that Mike Piper covers up for the Bronfmans and only talks about Meyer Lansky. Well, you know, I have a whole chapter in the book on the Permandex connection, which is all about the Bronfman connection to the Kennedy assassination. And in my book, folks, I'm going to read to you precisely where I summarize it all. I have a picture of Sam Bronfman, who was the head of the Bronfman family in 1963. And this is what I say. The fingerprints of Israel's wealthy patron, Lansky syndicate figure Sam Bronfman of Canada, are found all over the JFK assassination conspiracy. Not only was Bronfman's longtime henchman, Louis Bloomfield, chairman of the Mossad-sponsored Permandex Corporation, which was involved in the assassination, but new evidence indicates that Dallas mob figure Jack Ruby was actually on the Bronfman payroll. In addition, while another Bronfman associate in Dallas, oil man Jack Crichton, functioned as a translator, that's in quotes, for Lee Harvey Oswald's widow after the JFK assassination, another Bronfman functionary, super lawyer John McCloy, served on the Warren Commission. McCloy was a director, and Crichton served as vice president of the Empire Trust, a financial combine controlled in part by the Bronfman family. Although Bronfman is best known for his Seagram's liquor empire, what many JFK researchers who point their fingers at the Texas oil barons have failed to note is that Bronfman was a Texas oil baron himself, having purchased Texas Pacific Oil in 1963. Then, as far back as 1949, Alan Dulles, later the CIA director fired by JFK and also a Warren Commission member, served as an attorney involved in the private business ventures of Bronfman's daughter, Phyllis. And folks, that's just a cut line under three pictures in my book. There's a lot more about the Bronfman family in my book. And yet, Eric Hufschmidt just put his foot in the fish bait. Eric Hufschmidt has exposed on the Internet what a foolish liar he is. Folks, do you need any more evidence? You need any more evidence in black and white that this guy can't be believed? I know a lot of you out there don't believe him, but there are some of you out there listening right now who do believe Eric. All you got to do is get a copy of my book, and you can read all about the Bronfmans in black and white in a book that's been out since 1994. And our little wormy, effeminate friend, Eric Hufschmidt, came on the scene in 2001, and now he purports to be the best that there is, and yet he even, so desperate to attack me, he can't even get his facts straight. That's in black and white, folks. In a book, in this edition of the book, I know that there are at least 5,000 copies in circulation, and there may be many, many more. I don't know, because the book has been through several printings. But the fact is, the Bronfmans have been in the book from the very beginning. People around the world have read it. And yet Eric Hufschmidt is on his Internet website saying that I am covering up the Bronfman role in the Kennedy assassination. Folks, we got him. We got this little liar on a very simple point, folks. But a very simple point that shows precisely what kind of an insane little liar this little girl, Queen Esther, really is. Got him, folks. We're hanging him up by his pretty little toes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website, rbnlive.com.
Michael Collins, Piper here. We are going directly to the phones here, and I'm going to try to squeeze you all in. Let's go first to Patrick from Georgia, where he might be able to get some Holocaust education if he needs it. Patrick, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Michael.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. I do have a copy of your book. It's very good, very well written, the JFK assassination. And the reason I called was to just discuss the Fannin County thing. If you could imagine the place where this is at, it's like right the Blue Ridge Mountains runs right through it. It's a rural community full white Protestant Christian, God-fearing people, trusting. Most of them don't question what they learn in school. They don't question what they're taught in church. Of course, when they go to church, they're getting a good healthy dose of kosher Christianity. And then they go to school, and they're getting more of a Holocaust thing. So it works hand in hand. The subversion goes hand in hand. We're getting it in school, and we're getting it in the church. We're just being indoctrinated so that we have nothing but sympathy and obedience towards the Jews. And the fact that this agenda is in Fannin County with the population of of less than about 60,000 people. I mean, there's nothing there. There's no industry. There's no reason why anybody in the world would want to move to Fannin County. People grow up and they have to move elsewhere to get a job. I'm just astonished.
That reason alone there, Patrick, just tells me that that's one reason why they shouldn't be teaching them Holocaust education. If they can't provide them any employment there in the county, they should have a vocational technical classes. I mean, in the place of this Holocaust nonsense. I mean, it's just absolutely insane.
Precisely. Another point I wanted to make was I live north of Atlanta, and I took her out of public school in the seventh grade, put her into a private, what I thought was a Christian school. And in the eighth grade, they had her read materials from an Elie Wiesel guy,
mm-hmm.
A Night book, I believe it's called A Night by Elie Wiesel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they had them do different research on the Holocaust, and they had to go to the website of the who's the guy that runs that
Probably the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then when she got into the ninth grade, now get this, they have to go on a field trip every year. It's a mandatory field trip, and it counts as part of their grade. So in the ninth grade, they were sent where? To the Holocaust Museum in Washington.
Oh, my God almighty. Now, you know, of all the places they could go on a field trip in Washington, D.C., they go to the Holocaust Museum. They don't go to the Smithsonian Institution. The Smithsonian's turning into a liberal, multicultural garbage factory itself these days. But, I mean, of all the places in Washington, D.C., they got to go to the Holocaust Museum. And that's no cheap trip from anywhere in Georgia, whether by bus or by plane or by train. That cost a lot of money.
And the reason that I went over there, and I told my daughter wasn't going, and I didn't let her go, and I was pressured. They tried to make me feel bad about it, but I just put my foot down, and I said, I don't see the point. It's a waste of time. I got disgusted by it, and I told them, well, she's not going, and she won't be here that day. I don't care what you say.
Good for you, Patrick. And you know the thing is that you obviously understood the consequences and the nature of what was going on. But there's so many other good people out there too. If they understood, they would join you in doing that.
The reason why they don't question it is because of what they're teaching them in church. They're teaching them that the Jews are God's chosen people, and the Jews are teaching everybody that the Jews were Moses led the Jews out of Egypt. Well, you know what, Mike? If you read the Bible, you find out that there were no Jews in Egypt. They were called Israelites at that time, and they didn't have the Judaism. They didn't have any laws. The laws of Moses hadn't been given to them. So there were no Jews by birth or by religion in Egypt. They didn't have that suffering and all that. I mean, they were Israelites. So if they want to have everybody today be convinced that the Jews and Israelites are synonymous, but they are not. The tribe of Judah was only 1/12.
Patrick, as you were talking there, it occurred to me that the Jewish Talmud teaches that 40 billion, that's billion with a B, 40 billion Jews were killed by the Romans. Well, if that's the case, that sounds like a pretty bad Holocaust. And I think they ought to send the kids from Georgia over to Rome on a field trip.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, let's take it to its logical extension here. I mean, why just to Washington, D.C.? I think I'd rather go to Rome myself.
Any day.
All right, Patrick, thanks. I appreciate your call.
Good evening.
All right, thanks a lot. All right, let's go to Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, what's going on in Kansas?
Hey, I've got a couple of suggestions for some guests.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Dr. Batman Gelage?
No, I'm not.
He's the water cure doctor. He is from Iran, and he lives in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
And his book was books, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, and You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty.
I can attest to that. I believe in that. What's his name again?
Dr. Batman Gelage.
How's that last name spelled?
His, you can go to watercure.com watercure.com is his website.
Watercure.com. I will check it out. Might get him on the show here.
See, when the Ayatollah came to power, he was thrown in prison over there.
Okay.
So, and he's got to still have contacts over there.
Okay, well, whatever he's doing on the watercure.com sounds pretty interesting, and I can attest to that water is very important to the system. I know one time I was feeling very sluggish for several weeks, and I couldn't quite figure out why, and I realized I wasn't drinking the amount of water that I normally did, and I switched back to that, and just in a few days, I started feeling myself again. So I'm very interested in what he has to say.
Well, it'd be interesting because he's, you know, a doctor, but he's also, you know, from Iran, and I'll bet he's got some interesting perspectives on what's going on over there.
All right. Well, I'll check him out in that regard, definitely.
And the other thing, I've been checking out Daniel Hopsinger's site.
Oh, madcalprod.com.
Yes, and some of the information he's running right now has to do with at least one of the U.S. attorneys that got fired, and in relation to they just passed the one-year anniversary of this plane that went down in the Yucatan. Well, it didn't go down. It was unloaded in the Yucatan. Are you familiar with this story?
Not off the top of my head, but
5.5 tons of cocaine on it.
Okay.
And it belonged to some of those same people involved in that he's tied to 9/11.
Okay. Well, you know, I know Dan Hopsinger very well. I talked to him, actually. Oh, he called me when he was in town here about 8 months ago, and I'll have to get back in touch with him. And I'll,
yeah, you
I'll
need
have
to
him
have
on
him
sometime.
On.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, and he's done some great work. In fact, I worked with him on a video one time.
Cool.
Good
okay.
Man.
That's all I had.
All right, Sherry, thanks for your call.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Mike in Maryland. Mike, come on up.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I have this friend of mine who every time somebody, like at a party or a social event or whatever, anytime somebody ever brought up the subject of the Holocaust, he would look real serious and opine that, one of his relatives died in a concentration camp. And then everybody would look at him with shock and awe and sympathy because the guy obviously wasn't Jewish, and then say, yeah, he got drunk and fell out of the guard tower. That would usually shut him up pretty good. He was a sick pup, I'll tell you. I could tell you stories. This guy was sick. But one of my favorite Jewish comedians, Jackie Mason. I could never do an impersonation of him very good. But he said every ethnic group in this country has been discriminated against. Even the Irish, but they're too drunk to notice. And you know, I'm Irish, so I can appreciate that,
yeah.
especially being a former drunk.
Okay, but I won't even comment on that. All
okay.
Right.
But at any rate, though, I mean, I'm still traumatized from kindergarten. I mean, from prejudice there, because I used to think that I was retarded or wasn't quite right because I always had trouble cutting the little cardboard thing with the scissors. And that always bothered me as a older child and then as an adult. Then I realized I wasn't, and I didn't ride the short school bus or anything, but then I realized that I was left-handed. It wasn't until I was an adult later that they made special scissors for left-handers. And so I would have saved myself all that grief if I would have had the left-hand scissors. But
Larry, let me ask you a question. Now, when you were in middle school, did you feel as though they were discriminating against all the middle school students?
I never thought about that very much.
Evidently, they do. I guess down in Fannin County, Georgia, they discriminate against the middle school students. But now the kids have this Holocaust education, and it helps them realize that they're not alone.
Well, all I know is that no matter what school I was in, I always caught hell from upperclassmen, but so that, you know, that there's always a pecking order in school, you know, and I usually fit somewhere in the middle, no matter where I was. But there was this, I'm going to say something, you know, it's funny how prejudice or stereotyping is very selective. For instance, if a motel wants to advertise how cheap it is and how much you'll save money, they'll have like a little plaid background, and they'll show a picture of the Scotsman with his red beard pinching a penny or something like that, right? but God forbid, if they want to advertise the frugality of a motel or whatever, if they show a stereotypical picture of a hook-nosed Jew with his little black hat and his beard and showing him pinching a penny, I mean, that place would be burned down to the bleeding ground, you know?
Larry, you're absolutely right.
No, I'm Mike.
Yeah, Mike, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's all right.
Larry's my next caller, that's why.
Okay. It's funny how that works out, you know.
Mike, I got to move on. Thanks for your call.
Take it easy.
Okay, now we'll go to Larry in Florida. Larry, were you discriminated against, or did you feel that when you were in middle school, you were discriminated against, you and your colleagues?
Oh, I barely got through school. It was a nightmare.
I agree. I hated school. I did very well, but I didn't like the regimentation. I've always been very independent-minded.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mike, we are going to lose this thing. That trucking strike went over like a fart in a whirlwind.
I'm sorry to say.
I don't think anybody showed up for that. And then we had thousands and thousands of Mexicans marching again like they did last year. And down here in Fort Myers, I just saw on the news a while ago, somebody wanted to organize a counter demonstration to all these Mexicans. So they told the media where this counter demonstration was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the news crew showed up and waited around, and nobody showed up for this immigration counter demonstration. No, nobody. And the news guy's standing there saying, you know, hey, we came. This is where the leader of this told me to come, and here we are, and standing there, got the camera set up, and nobody there.
Well, what can I say?
You know, we deserve to lose this country. You know, I guess life has become so soft for so long for the white race in this country the last 100 years, you know, with indoor toilets. And I don't think any of us knows how to kill and butcher a chicken or something for the table. I don't think anybody for generations knows how to do that. We've become so soft that we will take anything. You know, guys will call shows like yours and say, well, here's my line in the sand. They can come and get me, and I'll shoot it out with them, you know, like Randy Weaver. But, you know, we can't even get anybody on the street for a demonstration.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is. It's very easy to call a talk show or send out an email and rant about things. But you know, in terms of actually you know, going out and doing anything. Yeah, you're right. It's sad. I mean, a few years ago when they set up the Holocaust Museum in Washington, we organized a protest against the Holocaust Museum, and we were able to get a couple hundred people here, I'm pleased to say, but it was a lot of work doing just that. Now, that's an issue that's a little more esoteric to most people, but when you see illegal immigration impacting upon every community in America, from the smallest rural towns to the biggest cities, and people don't do anything about it, and they let their politicians continue to both Democrats and Republicans alike, each for their own reasons, and they let the politicians get away with this because it is the fault of the politicians, and people don't say anything about it, that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel I can point the finger at my fellow American because, as you know, I've said it on this show, all week long I download flyers from SolarGeneral.com, anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, pro-white, whatever you want. There's like 65 different flyers there. And then on weekends they show up all over these streets, all over my town. It's been going on for years.
Well, you're doing something. You see, that counts.
I'm doing something.
Yeah, and that's what I always say. You know, not everybody has a talk show. Not everybody writes books or writes for a newspaper. But there are lots of things that a lot of people can do, and you're doing something right there.
Yeah, it don't cost much. A little bit of ink for my printer and a little bit of paper, and then I walk around in the sunshine and distribute these flyers.
Plus, you get some good exercise, too.
I do, and I meet some interesting people. Of course, I meet some freaks, too, that want to fight with me, but hey, what the heck?
Well, you're doing something, though.
I'm doing something, and yeah. I wish people would do something, anything. Anything.
Well, you know, we can just hope that somebody out there listening tonight will be inspired and maybe do what you're doing, you know, because, like you say, if people just continue to sit back and do nothing, it's just going to go to hell in a handbasket if we're not there yeah. already.
The Mexicans will inherit this country, but by default, if they're not stealing it from us, they're not forcing us off. You know, at least the old-time Indians tried to put up a fight at the end, you know, before... We're just letting foreigners swarm in here and take over this place. It's unbelievable
what we're letting happen. The thing is, Larry, it's not like there's anything wrong for Native Americans, as in the classic term of the Native Americans, people born here, to look out for their national borders. I mean, that has always been the concept of nationalism in any country. United States or Germany or England or wherever, there's nothing wrong with sticking up for your own country and your own people and trying to preserve it, but guess people don't want to do it. Larry, thanks for your call and keep up your good work.
Bye-bye.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right.
Michael Collins Piper here. I'm pleased to bring you the good news that the first layer of paint has been affixed to my living room. It is Muslim green, bright Muslim green, not bright Israeli blue. Anyway, I think we have time for one more caller here, and that is, guess who? Jim from Texas. Jim.
Hello.
What's going on, Jim?
Well, kudos to your previous caller, Larry. He's right. We're losing. We're going to lose. But that doesn't really matter to a professional cynic like myself. The point is that if we don't lose a year from now or a year and a half, somewhere in that vicinity, I can hear you talking about a news article you got from a Coeur d'Alene quarterly newspaper about a second grader that built a life-size model of the Auschwitz-Birkenau work camp, and she built it entirely out of gefilte fish and matzo balls, including a life-size statue of Dr. Mengele as he was assigning the people go to the left or go to the right, and torturing twins and all this stuff. I mean, this stuff is so ridiculous, Mike.
Well,
it's
Jim,
so ridiculous.
I have to tell you, one time the Holocaust Museum mailed out self-addressed stamped envelopes, and I really felt the need to do something with it. So I took that self-addressed envelope, postage paid, by the way, and attached it to a much bigger envelope, and I enclosed a brick that I found somewhere and sent it to them saying that I had reason to believe that may have been an original brick from the crematorium at Auschwitz. So I sent it to the Holocaust Museum. So I did make a contribution to the Holocaust Museum.
But did you enclose a note that said this is one of the few remaining survivors of the Holocaust, the few remaining 23 million survivors of the Holocaust, who lost their whole family, including themselves, in the Holocaust, including their dear brother who was sitting in the courtroom in the Zundel trial. His brother was sitting in the courtroom, and the guy says, my dear brother Edgar, whatever his name was, I lost him and the rest of my family, especially my dear brother Edgar, and the guy's sitting in the courtroom while he's testifying, and they convicted him anyway. So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that people are willing to tell lies even in the face of reality. And next time I get a self-addressed postage-paid envelope from the Holocaust Museum, I'll find some other creative way to do it.
Which is supported by the federal government, by the way. About half or two-thirds of the budget is from the federal government.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is they brag at the Holocaust Museum and in their literature of how the museum was funded by private subscription, but the fact remains that the Holocaust Museum is, in fact, only able to continue operating because you and I pay for it. You and I and all the listeners of RBN and all the other poor folks out there who can barely afford to pay their heating bills in the winter and can't pay their medical bills all year round and have to drive on broken up roads to get their kids to school, where the school is teaching all about the Holocaust.
And they'll teach it ad infinitum, just like I said, like the second grader. And the year after that, it'll be somebody in preschool that was so inspired by the, because there's always going to be Holocaust survivors. I don't care if it's 50 years from now. There's going to be a Holocaust survivor somehow. There's going to be a Holocaust survivor to lecture the kiddies on how the terrible Nazis persecuted the poor Jewish orphans and widows and all these other people.
Hey, Jim, Steven Spielberg has already spent millions filming all these Holocaust survivors, so we're going to have to watch them on TV and on DVD and in the classrooms forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Until the sun burns out, Mike.
All right, Jim.
All right.
Thanks for your call. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up tonight, but we'll be here tomorrow night, God willing. In the meantime, you've got Rick Adams coming down the road here on one of these broken up, crumbling roads. Stay tuned, folks. Thanks for listening in. Thanks to the Republic Broadcasting Network.